Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Starting with a bold take, just like we said we would every single segment. Here it is, Jake. Seahawks block a punt for a touchdown. Lots of exciting bold takes. Lots of trick plays, defensive scores, some fun stuff in here. Let's go ahead and get a bold take from one Michael Bumpus, former receiver, former Coug, host of the Seahawks pre- and post-game show. You guys can hear him not only right now, but also this weekend. Bump, how are you?
What's going on? How you doing?
Good, good. Obviously, first question, most important question, I will need your bold take for a special Thursday edition of Bold Take Friday.
My bold take is this defense will not allow a touchdown for the second straight week.
There you go. I like that.
Yes,
I like that one.
Yeah, I'm all for that, Bump. What type of game are you expecting here against the 49ers? They're 6-9. They're playing hard. They would love nothing more to come and be the spoiler to the Seahawks. What type of game are you thinking?
You know, I'm expecting a 49ers team that wants to be the spoiler. Obviously, the Hawks are already in the playoffs. They've clinched the division. But it's a rivalry game. These guys want to let the Hawks know, like, look, we've had a tough season. At one point, $80 million was on the IR when it came to the 49ers. We got $68 million on the IR now. And these guys are still putting up a fight. So I expect a dogfight, but I also expect this defense to really continue what they've been doing. But the Niners are getting healthy. George Kittle is back. They don't have Debo. They don't have Brandon Ayuk. So it makes me believe that the Niners are going to rely on the run, and the Hawks are good against the run. So I expect a dogfight. I want the Hawks to be up early so we can sit the starters. I need Dwayne Brown out. I know Russell likes to play. I want him out. I want these guys to be able to chill in the second half.
Bump, you're going to like this one. The 425, with a quick reminder for me, a former UW alum. Stacy, one is never a former Coug. You're right. My apologies. Coug, Michael Bumpus, joining us for our Seahawks preview. My apologies, Bump. My apologies.
All good.
Hey, so tell me if I'm wrong about this one. I have been harping on this, and Jake's teasing me a little bit, and rightfully so, totally fair. I am wanting to see just a bit more scoring from Seattle. I know that they can do it. I know that when they need to, they can drop 30-plus on people. I have no doubt. But it does worry me that I guess
there might be a little doubt.
There's a little – no, not a little doubt. They absolutely have the talent to do it, but – am I wrong to say that there is a correlation between being a high-scoring team or able to be a high-scoring team when you need to be and getting to a Super Bowl, moving through the playoffs, being able to beat anyone? You can drop 20 on a great team, but you can also keep pace with a team if your defense falters.
Yeah, I mean, you want your offense to look like they can put up 35, 40 points, and we've seen that. And also got to remind folks, like, look, the last few weeks, they played against some good defenses. They played against the number one defense in the league last week with the Rams. You got the number five defense this week against the 49ers. So if the Hawks do not put up the big numbers like you want them to do, and I want them to do as well, Stacy, I wouldn't be too alarmed. I think the Hawks are doing just enough to win ball games. At the end of the day, that's what you want. It's not going to look pretty. There's no BCS. You don't get style points. But, yeah, I'm with you. I would like to see the Hawks put together a game to where you're like, okay, offense is on point, defense is on point. Put the fans at ease. But if you are a avid football watcher, you watch the game, you know that this is the NFL, man. Guys come to play. They got professionals over there. But I wouldn't mind a blowout, Stace. I'm with you.
Now, Michael, one huge accomplishment seems that it could happen this coming Sunday. There's DK Metcalf having the opportunity to potentially pass up Steve Largent for the single-season receiving record. How impressive is that to you, coming from DK Metcalf, the jump, the growth that he has made from year one to year two, to potentially taking this record from a true Seahawks legend?
It's extremely impressive. I mean, Steve Largent is the gold standard when it comes to receivers, right? And to have a second-year guy just get better the way DK has been. And not only from year one to year two, Jake, it's week by week, man. I'm seeing this guy get more comfortable out there. Last week against the Rams, that first drive, he was in the slot, the first and second drive. He did not go outside. So now he's starting to diversify his portfolio. You know, he can move him around and get these matchups. So I'm really impressed by DK. And the exciting part is he still has so much to work on. So I want him to get his 6 yards, break that record. I also want Lockett to get his 36 yards and to be a 1,000-yard receiver as well.
We've been talking a lot about this offense, rightly so, a lot of stars there. But, Bump, this defensive turnaround has been unlike anything I've ever seen from this team. If we do our little credit pie, I mean, you can't give it to one guy, right? It takes a team, it takes a village to make this kind of turnaround. But who do you think isn't getting enough credit?
I got to go DJ Reed. I mean, Jamal Adams has his 9.5. Carlos Dunlap has his 5. Jay Reed has his 6.5 sacks on that line. Bobby's still doing his thing. KJ's playing awesome at that strong position. But DJ Reed, man, the guy they picked up, not knowing what he was going to be able to do. Then he comes in, he plays right corner, left corner, nickel. He's returning kicks. I love his mentality. Dude is 5'9". I told my son's probably going to be about 5'9", 5'10". I tell him, look at DJ Reed, how hard he plays, how fast he plays. This guy needs some love. And with the injuries to Dunbar and then Trey Flowers getting banged up, you have a guy in DJ Reed who can hold a corner spot down. So now they have decisions to make. When guys are healthy, when you have all your options, what do you do with DJ? I think he's earned a spot as a starter on this team.
You know, Bub, we talked about a lot about this defense and obviously how poor it was playing, and Ken Norton Jr. has come under fire through all of that, and rightfully so. I mean, he is responsible for that defense, and he is also responsible for this defense that has turned things around. What have we been able to learn through this season about Ken Norton Jr., in your opinion?
I think we learned that he's not going to listen all the noise. He hears the noise. There's no denying it, but he's not going to listen, and he's going to stay true to who he is. And him and Pete Carroll have a great relationship. Pete Carroll has done a great job kind of stepping in front of Ken Norton and taking a lot of the bullets and reminding people, look, I have input too. This is my defense as well. But Ken Norton, man, he's been steady. He hasn't gotten too frustrated. He realizes that, look, we have a rookie linebacker out there. You got some guys on the defensive line. You're trying to figure out what their roles are going to be. The secondary has been banged up. A lot of guys in situations like that, they fold, they try to change everything, and try to appease the people. Forget appeasing the people. As long as your head coach has your back, your GM, the owner has your back, and you feel like your team is making progress, they understand that it's a marathon. So I've just been really impressed with his composure and his approach to just developing these guys, knowing that when it's time to make a run, these guys are going to be able to perform.
Who are some of the teams you'd like to see Seattle face? It could be for any reason. Maybe you think that they are just a way more favorable, easy matchup, or maybe you just are really curious to see it. Who are some of the teams you want to see Seattle play as they make their way through the postseason?
Always Chicago. Believe in Mitch. Yeah. Great athlete. Has an arm, can run the ball. I just don't really believe in him. And then the Rams. You got Cooper Kupp, one of my favorite players in the league, who's not available. You have Jared Goff, who's having surgery on his thumb. Those guys are shook right now. McVay is shook. He's not going to have his guy. I believe I have Wolford, who will be starting for these guys. I don't know who he is. He is in the league, so he is a good athlete. But I think mentally, the Seahawks have the Rams number for the first time in a long time. I can't remember the last time I felt confident like this playing against the Rams. So I'd go Chicago. I'd go the Rams. But honestly, anybody can get it. It's the playoffs now. Line them up. Knock them down. Let's go.
Bump, what is this last game against the 49ers? What is the opportunity that presents itself for the Seahawks? I mean, we talk about, you know, the media asked Pete Carroll questions about, hey, are you going to rest starters? He said no. What can the Seahawks truly get out of this outside of obvious playoff seeding?
It's more about knowing the character of your football team at this point, right? You know you have the division locked up. You're going to have a home game regardless. What's your approach with this game? Are you just going to mail it in like some teams did against the Jets? Or are you going to come out and be a professional? And then if you do throw these dudes out, young guys, get them in. I want to see Brooks I want to see Berkervin, and I want to see Cody Barton line up at that backer spot at one point. So it's all about fine-tuning things at this point. Make sure your defense is still performing and get your offense clicking a little at a higher caliber at this point.
Hey, we were talking for a while about how this year makes it a great coaching year for certain guys around the league. That includes Pete Carroll. Jake is making a point about how John Schneider, it's one of his best years as GM. This season in many ways has tested those guys, and that both Schneider and Carroll have met the expectation. Do you look at 2020 as a really great year for both of them because of that?
Awesome year when it comes to 2020. Schneider's done a great job getting Dunlap, finding, again, DJ Reed, developing guys. And then Pete Carroll, I mean, people talk X's and O's. You cannot ignore the X's and O's. You got to get guys out there to perform. But no COVID cases. Every other – so whatever Pete Carroll's saying to his team, whatever processes they have involved, Big Us, Nassachobia, producer, he's the guy collecting all the chips and stuff for these guys. I mean, they have just locked in and competed when it comes to COVID-19. You got teams like the Baltimore Ravens who kind of ignored it, didn't treat it as a real thing. But these guys have found a way – to respect it, you know, don't fear it, but respect it, have processes in line for these guys are safe when they go home and when they come back to the facility. I think all in all, this was a great job by Pete Carroll this year. And Snyder, man, somebody give these guys some type of award and recognition is long overdue.
Bump, one of the questions that we have asked you over the last couple of weeks has been about Tyler Lockett, you know, one of the names that we have forgotten to mention is David Moore. And David Moore came up with a huge, you know, 48-yard catch that really sparked this offense. You know, it was a great reminder of what David Moore can do for this offense. How is he able to get himself in those positions as often as he does?
You know what, Jake? He knows who he is. And I think that's one of the greatest attributes you can have as a player is know who you are and know what your role is on this football team. And his role on this team is, look, we need a big play. We'll toss it up to you. You're the down-the-field threat. You can do a little bit of everything. So he understands I'm not going to get a bunch of targets, but when I do get my opportunities, I'm going to make the most of them. And he makes big plays like a number one and number two receiver. So he's just comfortable in his own skin. And that's huge. You go out there, you get your two or three targets, you do the best you can with them. There's a game where this guy had -2 yards and a touchdown, and he's all right with that. You know what I mean? Because he knows, look, when we get around this goal line, I might get a jet sweep, third and long, I might get a deep ball. I just got to stay ready. Stay ready, so you ain't got to get ready. You guys heard me say that before.
Mm-hmm. Bump, last question for me here. We won't get to talk to you tomorrow. Obviously, it's New Year's Day, so I'm just going to squeeze in a college football question. A ton of great bowl games on Friday. Let's look at just those top four. Who are you favoring in both the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl?
So we got Alabama versus Notre Dame. But when you're playing against the NFL's only development program in Alabama, it is going to be tough. I think Bama gets it done. I want Notre Dame. Then you have Clemson and Ohio State.
Yep.
I think Clemson will get it done. I think Trevor Lawrence is just superior. Dabo Swinney and those guys. But I want Ohio State to win simply because they're going to have two Washington guys on there. You got G. Scott Jr. over there.
Yeah.
You got Emeka who just committed from Silicon. So there's some sentimental value over there. I'd like to see Ohio State win. End of the day, I think the two best programs will be in the national championship. That's Clemson versus Alabama for like the 20th time in a row.
He is Michael Bumpus. You can follow him at MichaelBumpus5. Lots of great Seahawks insight there. You can hear him this weekend on the Seahawks pre- and post-game show. Thanks, Bump.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, let's get to four down territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Mac and Jack's African Amber Ale.
With Jake and Stacy.
You live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
First down to Jake. What is objective number one for the Seahawks on Sunday?
Objective number one could not be any clearer. The only chance that the 49ers have in this game to keep themselves close, to keep themselves relevant, is to be able to run the ball. And here in cut number two, Carlos Dunlap making it very clear. They know what the mission is, what the objective is, what the 49ers are going to try to do. And Carlos Dunlap wants to force them into passing the ball for selfish reasons.
They got a very good running game, and they love to run the ball. And, you know, with the situation they're in, I see them trying to challenge us in that. So we want to stop the run and make them pass it so we can, you know, do the fun stuff that I love to do too and rush the passer. So, you know, we're approaching this game as another game, the next game up, and they're in our way. So we're going to attack them just like we would do any game.
And that's what I want to see. I want to see this defense attack. I want to see them attack. I want to see them dominate the line of scrimmage. I want them to own the line of scrimmage from the very get-go and make this game extremely difficult on C.J. Beathard. If you can put the ball in C.J. Beathard's hands with the lack of weapons that the 49ers are going to have coming out there. They don't have Brandon Ayuk. He is out. They don't have Deebo Samuel. He is out. They're two only weapons and really one dynamic weapon is George Kittle, and then they have Kendrick Bourne, who was a 1,000-yard receiver last year, but he's more of a possession guy for the 49ers. So they are really hurting in terms of their playmakers. So this is a great opportunity for the Seahawks to have a dominating performance.
Second down. Stacy.
Curtis.
Please update us on the latest with Ilaria Baldwin.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh man!
Has everyone heard about Hilaria Baldwin?
God,
I'm gonna.
This
you know what?
The
no, wait.
Question,
no, I'm gonna make it part of my question. Go ahead, right. Curtis. Go ahead.
The actual question is, and boy, there seems to be some creative liberties taken with this question.
Go ahead and read it.
Please tell us why you're dying on the points per game hill, and why you are still a very, very good person, and definitely not a doubter, and also super funny.
Curtis. Thank you. That's really not. Oh my God.
I didn't write that.
All right. Well. Yeah. So I'm getting a lot of flack for this, and I want you guys to know that's fair. You can yell at me, you can disagree with me. I completely respect your opinion. I've seen so many good responses in opposition to my point about points per game, and I respect all of them. Because honestly, like, it isn't always indicative of what is going to make a winner, what is going to make the best team. It's not. The indicator is winning. Getting out with a win no matter what. So I recognize that that is the ultimate important thing, period. But there is a positive correlation between performance and winning and points per game and third down conversions. You don't have to score 30 points per game as your magic formula to winning. But teams that are very efficient on third down often correspond with teams that are higher scoring because they create scoring opportunities for themselves. They get into the red zone. Seattle still, I think, is second or third in the league in red zone scoring. They've been phenomenal there, and that was the difference in that Rams game, right? That's the difference between a great offense and just a good offense, or an offense with not the right quarterback. When you've got Russell Wilson, when you've got this offense, and when they're in the red zone, they score most of the time. That's fantastic. But move those chains. Improve from 39 or 40%. Try to inch toward 44, 47, 50%. I guarantee you're going to see a correspondence there between those conversions and scoring. And you know what? You know what, Jake? I want you to be able to stay toe-to-toe with offenses should your defense ever falter. Hopefully it never happens, but every team has to win any way they can and win in dynamic ways. And one of those might have to be high-scoring. You might have to get into a shootout. You might have to do
it. I believe they can do that.
Oh, shoot. Curtis, I forgot. Hilaria Baldwin. You know what? The worst thing you can do is have people for so long think that you are a high-scoring off... No, I don't have it, Curtis. I really tried.
Darn.
I'll get to it later.
We still got about an hour and a half left.
Okay, give me an hour.
You can
for
think
that
through
one.
This.
I'll get to it later. I'll tell you guys about Hilaria Baldwin later.
You can workshop it. Third down. Jake, I want you.
You're so glad we told you about Hilaria Baldwin.
Oh, I know. Jake had no idea until
yesterday.
We sent
you videos, articles. We got you caught up.
Jake, mind blown.
I want you to give me three Seahawks players you're keeping an eye on Sunday.
Three? You want three Seahawks players?
Did I stutter?
Wow. You are demanding,
these
sir.
These players, three.
Okay. These players, three. The ones that you're going to be looking for, to me, as you're looking at this game, I will be watching very, very closely at one, none other than DK Metcalf, other than for the simple fact that he had a monster, monster game versus the 49ers, and also Tyler Lockett. The reason being is you're going to get a lot of one-on-one opportunities. And if Stacy, she wants her points, and she wants them now.
I want them
if
now.
If you want those third down conversions, and she wants them now.
Oh,
you want those
Wentworth.
Explosive plays? That's right.
Farouk Assault.
Those two are going to have one-on-one opportunities against the 49ers, and you have to be able to capitalize. You have to be able to make them pay. And so I think that those two players are going to be the ones that I'm looking for and watching, because I believe that they have a very favorable matchup against the corners and the nickel corners in this game. So those are two. And then I'm going to go to the defensive side of the ball, Curtis, and I am going to be watching none other than Jordan Brooks.
Ooh.
Jordan Brooks had a great game against the Rams, 8 tackles. He was in the backfield on a couple of those goal line plays. For their goal line stand. Jordan Brooks is playing faster. He is playing with instinct. He is really turning himself into a very, very good linebacker in this league already as a rookie, and I want to see him. This is the type of game that he will flourish in, because this is a hard-nosed, physical, tough matchup. I expect to see Jordan Brooks playing downhill and playing fast and playing physical.
Fourth down. Jake, Jamal Adams appeared on The Herd with Colin Cowherd a couple days ago. What stood out to you, and what do you think it means for his contract demands?
Maybe the fact that very smartly Jamal Adams didn't classify himself as a safety. Let's hear what he actually classified himself as.
Well, I classify myself as a playmaker. You know what I mean? I can play anything you need me to do. Any position really, and you know, I don't really classify myself just as a safety. You know, I classify myself as a defensive weapon. You know what I mean? And so I'm just going to continue to play my ball, continue to do what they ask me to do, continue to learn, and that's all I can do.
Jamal, we're not allowed to bring weapons out on the field, man. Like, you can't just all of a sudden claim yourself as a weapon. Then we'd have to confiscate you.
Jake is trying to go for it.
I like that. Leaving it all out in 2020.
He really is.
That's right. That's right. And Stacey's been trying to do it all year long.
Oh,
I just tried to get it
person.
Out of the way in one day. Now, so Jamal Adams, here's the reason why he does that. Here's the reason why he classifies himself as a weapon, as a playmaker, is because he doesn't want to be held to the constraint of a safety contract. Jamal Adams is going to be looking for a big payday. And if you think that you're going to get Jamal Adams signed for $14 million, $15 million, just a little bit above Buda Baker, you are kidding yourself. He is going to be up there with Bobby Wagner. He is going to be in that $20 million conversation. And that's why this negotiation is not going to be simple, because the Seahawks do not want to pay him that kind of money. They want to keep him as a safety. Jamal Adams, he ain't buying it. Woo! He ain't having it, especially when he has 9.5 sacks.
Going to be some interesting contract conversations. Some of that might be even be coming up later today. From the 425 for Bold Take, Sherman gets mossed by DK Metcalf at some point during Sunday's game. Now, 425, Sherman actually will be out for this game with a calf injury. We may have seen the end of his tenure in San Francisco, but I do like the idea of someone getting mossed by DK Metcalf. I am down for that kind of game. Three things I want you guys to know. Number one, because we don't have a show tomorrow, we are doing our game show. That will be coming up at 1:30. So you do not want to go anywhere. It is my favorite part of the week. Number two, it continues to be Bold Take Thursday. So send those on in. 710, 710, Vizzy Hard Seltzer. We'll be reading them every single segment. And number three, a locker room celebration resulted in a broken trophy after a bowl game. The sound is hilarious. We'll tell you who did it next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is The Timeline
with Jake and Stacy,
brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
It's The Timeline on Jake and Stacy, reading you guys the top stories you're going to see on your own timelines. Got some funny ones today, so let's go ahead and get started with this one. This hour of Jake and Stacy, by the way, is brought to you by the Pro Club. Wisconsin broke the Duke's Mayo Bowl trophy during their postgame celebration. The trophy itself, the base is presumably some kind of like silver, platinum, chrome, whatever stand, holding up a what looks like a crystal football. It looks like the wonderful crystal glass dishes at your grandma's house. Lovely. Maybe some for some little tea lights, some jelly beans, whatever those Dots candies are no one ever wants. Turns out it is not shatterproof. In fact, this is what happened postgame. That sudden silence you hear isn't just the sound of the clip itself ending. Curtis, Jake, and myself saw this clip. If you haven't seen it, you can find it on Twitter. It is everyone, they're dancing around. I forgot, I think the quarterback, someone's holding it.
Yeah, it's the quarterback.
The quarterback.
Yeah, Graham Mertz.
Yes, Graham Mertz is holding it. He's dancing in the center. Everyone's around him. You can start to hear, Curtis pointed this out, you can start to hear someone warn him by saying, Oh, snap, for lack of a better word.
We'll call it that, yeah.
And it slips off. It shatters into...
And the whole team freezes.
The whole thing shatters, and everyone freezes. It's like, did the music stop? It felt like the music...
Record scratch.
It really was a record scratch moment. Everyone freezes, and you just hear someone... This is my favorite part. I think you hear someone say, oh. Oh.
It's really funny because the quarterback is in the middle of everybody feeling it, excited, everybody's going crazy, and then boom, over in a flash. What do you do at that point? I mean,
you take pictures around it. You do like Mean Girls. Everyone gets a piece of the trophy. Everyone's a winner.
Post that video for the internet clout.
That's exactly. You post it for the internet clout, and it gets a million views, just like this one did. It was posted by one of the receivers, and so you guys can find that. It's, let's see, there was a reporter at George Balekji. Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry, George. He posts the original photo and video that was on one of the players', I think, Instagram accounts, so there's a couple different angles to it. No one's really mad at this, right? It's mostly funny. I mean, it's unfortunate for them, but in the end, they got the win.
What's great is they taped a bottle of Duke's Mayo to the base of the trophy afterwards.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did. So it's like, all right, we got sort of a trophy.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love it. This, by the way, was Graham, the one that was dancing, Graham Mertz, the Wisconsin quarterback, him explaining what happened.
Yep, I dropped it. That's on me. I don't got anything besides that. I just got a little, my mom would call it a boo-boo, but we'll be all right. We'll bounce back. So we'll be the last trophy I'll ever drop. I guarantee you that.
That's my quarterback. I just became a huge, huge fan. Oh God!
That's a boo boo. That's what he called it.
Yeah.
That's what his mama calls it. Yeah, that was definitely a bad moment. But the reality is though, you know, some booster from Wisconsin's gonna be like, if we got to replace that, no problem. I got that covered.
Yeah. Are you ready for my joke, Jake? You know what trophy wouldn't break? Curtis knows what I'm going for. The Hellman's Mayo Trophy.
Yeah.
Because it's a different brand of mayonnaise.
Yo.
Do you see?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. Look, Tom Brady has a great impression of teammate Rob Gronkowski in his Thursday press conference. Here it is.
And then he's like, dude, that was great. That was perfect. That was just what I needed. I feel ripped now. And he was ready for his photo shoot because of one day of the two of us working out together.
There is, Jake, a video that I sent you of Hilaria Baldwin switching back and forth between how she would normally speak and then a Spanish accent that people are convinced now is fake. Who knows if it is, but it's a very weird video. That's exactly what happens here. I cannot believe that this is the same person saying both sentences. It sounds like Gronk has jumped into his body. It is an uncanny impersonation of Gronk.
That was great. That was perfect. That was just what I needed.
That's him. That is him.
That's... I guess when you've spent so much time together and have been through so much like Tom Brady and Gronk have, that you just start picking up on each other's voices. Like it's not even you have a better understanding of who they are.
Can you do me and Curtis our voices?
No, I can't.
For comparison's sake, here is Gronk's voice.
Yes, he was just yapping to me the whole time, and that's why I took him and threw him out of the club.
Tell me that's not the same person.
That was great. That was perfect. That was just what I needed.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I could make my voice like yours, Stacey. Curtis's is too silky and too smooth.
It's true.
I would never get
it's true.
That's exactly right. A masked Tony Hawk was going through a COVID testing facility with his family. Someone looked at the names of his family and then saw the last name Hawk, asked if he's related to Tony Hawk, and he said yes, and she said, "Are you pulling my leg?" And he said, "No, we are all directly related to him." Although, to be fair, I Googled images of Tony Hawk and then kind of covered up the bottom part of his face. I don't know that I would know it was Tony Hawk either. It's hard to tell, especially if he's just in a car with his kids. You might just think it's like some random dad.
Yeah, I mean, he has so many of these that he posts. It's so funny.
So good.
I love that he has all these reactions. But, you know, Tony Hawk, I wonder at this stage and age of his life, you know, how easy it is to recognize and spot Tony Hawk. You know, because back in the day, like early 2000s and 90s, of course you were going to recognize Tony Hawk. He had the hair, he had the
video games,
the look and everything. But now he's dad. He's dad Tony Hawk. Like he looks like just a regular dad out there.
Curtis, what was the airport one you saw? Because like Jake said, he's got that list of all of these things where it's like people have mistaken him for Tony Hawk. There was no. The restaurant one.
The airplane one was like the flight attendant noticed there were four skateboards in the overhead bin. And they go, "Who's on this flight, Tony Hawk?" And they look down and it was him. And he goes, "Yeah, actually, I am on this flight."
The other good one is him going to a restaurant and the person saying, "Are you Tony Hawk?" And he says, "Yes." And then he yells to the back of the restaurant, "Hey, Tony Hawk is here." And someone from the back goes,
Who?
All right. Like Jake mentioned in his fourth down when talking about Jamal Adams, he is one of these guys. The Seahawks have huge decisions to make about five of their most important players. Jamal Adams is one of those guys. We'll tell you who the other four are next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by the Pro Club. Getting back to a couple of your bold takes in just one sec. Before I do that, have to let you guys know the Seahawks have a few huge decisions to make about five of their most important players. We know one of those, Jake, is Jamal Adams. We already talked about him before downs. We're going to get back to it, though, as far as how much money he could be looking for or the fact that he could be looking to get paid like something more than a safety, which, to be totally honest, is also matching his sack production. I mean, he's not getting your sack production the way a safety would, so he's got a case to make. But a couple other guys here, Jake. Let's go ahead and get started with Carlos Dunlap. You mentioned him. I listed these other three guys, and you said don't forget about Carlos Dunlap. How important do you think it is to make sure that he's one of the guys you bring back, or would you be willing to let him go?
Well, Carlos Dunlap, to me, is somebody that has really proven his worth and his value, and the Seahawks are really seeing that in terms of how it's allowed everybody else to play in positions that are more suited to them. There's not as much pressure on them to be the leading sack getter, to be the ones to come up big in those clutch moments. But I think Carlos Dunlap has absolutely made a case for himself to Seattle for them to want to bring him back in terms of his leadership, the energy that he has and he brings to this team. And so I will be very curious to see what they are able to do with Carlos Dunlap, because the other reality is that they don't necessarily, in my mind, don't want to be paying him $10 million next year, in which he is due and owed in his contract if he was to remain on his current deal. So I would imagine that maybe they want to risk maybe letting him go and then being able to restructure his contract and redo a different deal to maybe get him on a two-year, three-year type of contract, so you have him under better cap circumstances and you know, on both sides can be happy with the deal moving forward. So that's what I would anticipate. I love Carlos Dunlap. I love what he's brought to this team, and I think they need him.
I'm going to actually include kind of a two for one here. And that's not to say that both players will remain, although I'm going to guess they are. But that I think that one of these guys will impact the other. So that is DK Metcalf and Jamal Adams. Now, DK Metcalf, just in his second year, the Seahawks won't actually have to, you know, extend him until after 2021. By then, he'll still have a year on his contract, so he's not a free agent until after 2022. But as we all know, the Seahawks typically extend guys in the final year of their deal, which would mean next March or so for DK Metcalf. So, Jake, we already know that Jamal Adams is a guy. You don't give up two first rounders and get rid of him. DK Metcalf is going to be looking to get paid bank. Who knows what that's going to look like after 2021. I mean, you can't let either of these guys leave, but that does impact a guy, I think, like Chris Carson or Shaquille Griffin. Maybe that makes those decisions tougher, knowing the situation you might be in a year out.
Yeah, true. Very, very true. And in reality as well, people have to remember, DK Metcalf, he is not your typical rookie in terms of being a first rounder. So when you talk about if he was a first rounder, you'd have, you know, 4 years plus an option. Well, he's only has 4 years on his deal. And typically with a guy like DK Metcalf, you are going to give them the extension in the third year so that you don't even get to that last year, the fourth year without a contract. So we'll see how this unfolds for DK Metcalf. But yes, I do think that knowing that you're going to have to pay him down the line, I envision that the Seahawks want to make DK Metcalf here and stay here in Seattle for the foreseeable future, no question, and get that taken care of, that they're going to have to be very careful in terms of what they do with these contracts. And Jamal Adams as well is going to be a big factor into what the decisions that they make with Chris Carson and Shaquille Griffin, because you look at DJ Reed, somebody like DJ Reed stepping up and playing as well as he has. He's not a number one corner in this league, but maybe they feel like they can find an inexpensive option there that could prove themselves into a better cap position than Shaquille Griffin if his market is skyrocketing in a way that they don't want to pay.
I mean, it is weirdly enough a nice position to be in. It's like having a bevy of riches and talent. It's, you know, you can't keep all of your best guys. When you hear that as a fan, you're thinking, well, shoot, I don't like this. I want to be able to hang on to the players I love watching. But that also means you have so much talent and so many important positions. So, I mean, specifically with Chris Carson, here's what Pete has to say about how much he loves him as a player in cut number 7.
I think his style is so obvious. I just love the way he does it, you know. I mean, there's only one Marshawn. Marshawn's one of a kind, and he was an extraordinary everything in player and mentality and everything that he was about. One of a kind. But as far as hitting the line of scrimmage and letting guys know, you know, who you're playing against and leaving the message behind when he hits you, and the creativity, hand-eye coordination, beautiful catching ability, all that kind of stuff, you know, he's what we're looking for.
From the 206, got to pay the difference makers. Well, guess what, Jake? I know you know this, but Chris Carson is a difference maker. We saw what this offense looked like without him, and I know that people will say running backs don't matter. I know they'll say they're overpaid, and I also agree that running backs face injury and often decline in health and performance after getting a payday, not because they get paid, but because running backs are among the quickest positions to essentially lose their health and their availability, which is one of your best assets in the league. I understand all of this. The offense that Pete Carroll wants to run, that Brian Schottenheimer, so long as he's here, wants to run, needs a running back like Chris Carson. We saw the talent difference. This isn't to slight them. The talent difference between DJ Dallas and Travis Homer when he was healthy and Chris Carson. It was a huge gap. Even when Carlos Hyde came back, his first game back, you saw how much of a difference that made. So I think that this is a harder decision than it would be for other teams, whether or not you bring back Carson. And I worry, here I am worrying again, I understand the difficulty of really hitting on a running back that you draft. Chris Carson is a seventh-round gem. Seattle has not had luck between Marshawn Lynch and Chris Carson with drafting reliable starting running backs or signing them in free agency or picking them up as undrafted free agents or what have you.
Well, the reality is that when it comes to players like this, the Seahawks as an organization are extremely, extremely tough to deal with. And when it comes to Chris Carson, and Pete Carroll in another cut also said that that Chris has to go do right by him. He has to go look at all the options. Mm-hmm. They want to have him back, but he's got to do what's best for him. And in the sounds of it, it was almost kind of the feeling like you'd love to have Chris Carson back, but you're not sure if you can bring him back because you don't know what his market is going to be like. I've always said that the $8 to $10 million range is probably going to be the area that the Seahawks are in. $8 million, I think, is more like it in terms of what they would want to spend for running back, or as high as they would want to spend for running back. And Chris Carson wants top market money, obviously. But with his injury history, I just don't know if he is going to get that type of money. So the Seahawks, I think it's not going to be right away that you see him get Chris Carson signed, you know, one of the first days in free agency. I think that you're going to see this go on for a long time, and it's going to be a nerve-wracking situation, Stacey, because as you just mentioned, this team needs Chris Carson. He is a difference maker for this group. And the reason why we're talking about contracts now is because where do we see these guys as of right now?
Right.
We may look at Chris Carson in the playoffs and say, guess what? He's worth $12 million. He's worth $13 million. You have to pay this guy if he just totally ripped it up in the playoffs and became a big time difference maker for you. Shaquille Griffin, he could be the difference in terms of if he is a Seahawk or not, in terms of how well he plays through the playoffs. He wants number one corner money. And are you going to be willing to give that to him if he plays subpar through the playoffs? And the other thing that we also have to consider here as well is that the Seahawks, I believe, are going to use the franchise tag on one of these two players, whether it be Shaquille Griffin or Chris Carson.
All right. Let me get to one more of these. We have about 30 seconds, so I just want to read a couple more. I'm seeing predictions, Jake. Tell me how likely you think this is for a couple special teams touchdowns. Now, I don't mean like multiple touchdowns. I mean a couple different ways they could get a touchdown. Most popular one has been on a blocked punt by none other than Shaquem Griffin. People expecting Shaquem Griffin getting more involved there. I think DJ Reed, this as the quote-unquote revenge game, another revenge game against his former team. And also just being kind of in the spotlight, also getting a lot of that attention on special teams. So I'd love to see a special team score. I think that would be fantastic. They're usually by guys that don't get the spotlight nearly as much. So I am all on board for those. Do I think it's going to happen? I don't know, but I really like those predictions. Speaking of a couple of these contract extensions, they're all incredibly important decisions Seahawks general manager John Schneider is going to have to make. But there are many decisions he's already made that has led Jake to say 2020 has been one of his best years yet. That's next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.